Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'd actually like to address something, if that's okay.
No.
And oh, by the way, can we address the ground rules there? What is going on?
We're in a different era.
Ken Obrey from Boston, bro.
Didn't shower. Didn't use a towel. I got in the bed, out of the bed.
Stink up the joint.
Chris, I can't make this. You see the text, right?
It's not your money. What do you care?
Because it didn't happen that night.
He claims that he was taking testosterone. He was prescribed testosterone from a doctor because
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale, let's go.
And you were waiting for the power, right? That's the one thing you were waiting for.
All right, here we go. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
All right, well, away we go. Brian Barrett in for the next 3 hours or so. Your number, if you want to hop on board, 617-779-7937. A lot to get to, including your New England Patriots, who are about to go undefeated in the preseason, baby. They're going to head into the regular season with that 4-0 preseason record. They're beating up on the New York Giants right now, 29-19. And a couple of things have stood out to me. If you want to weigh in on what has stood out to you, again, the number 617-779-7937. So you thought all offseason, and I thought up until last week, really when I was doing a show over the weekend, and really when I was doing a show on Monday and Tuesday, I was still very, very concerned about this wide receiving core for your New England Patriots. I was thinking to myself, okay, Demaryius Thomas is coming off a torn Achilles that, oh, by the way, he tore his Achilles on December 23rd of last season in week 16, okay? So this was towards the very end of the season when he was a member of the Houston Texans. He tore his Achilles. And I thought about Josh Gordon. Okay, it's nice that he's cleared and he can actually play. So that's something I was at least somewhat counting on. But other than Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman, I was really questioning, what does this team really have as it pertains to the wide receivers? And you saw Jacoby Myers last week in that preseason game where he was out there, and him and Tom Brady, there was no cohesion between the two at all. They were not on the same page whatsoever. We can all agree on that. In that game against the Tennessee Titans, Brady was visibly upset on two different occasions with Jacoby Myers. He went to the sideline. He threw off his helmet. Remember, Jacoby Myers cut off one of his routes, and on the other one, he threw it kind of behind Jacoby Myers, but a ball that he expects an NFL caliber wide receiver to catch, right? And then you fast forward to tonight and you start to think about, okay, maybe this was the weakest part of this team heading into tonight. And now you're starting to feel a whole lot different if you're a fan of the New England Patriots. And I understand, look, I'm not trying to overreact to one preseason performance or anything along those lines as it pertains to the wide receiving core. But when I look at tonight, those guys look a lot different than most of the receivers that have been with your Patriots over the past couple of years. So Edelman goes out after he catches a ball for 20 yards. Beautiful pass by Jarrett Stidham. He kind of shakes the hand a little bit. It looks like everything's okay. He was kind of upset, threw off the gloves, but it seems like everything's okay with Edelman. It was just like, all right, you're on the field, whatever. Let's not risk you going back out there and sustaining any type of significant injury. Quite frankly, I have no idea why Edelman was on the field. I get it, he hasn't played in the preseason, but there was really no reason for Julian Edelman to be on the football field. No reason whatsoever. Okay, we know what he can do. We know he has a great relationship with Brady on the field. There's no reason for him to be out there with Jarrett Stidham. I didn't understand that whatsoever. You already know what Edelman can do, right? So that's not like Edelman needed to answer any questions for this team, right? Let's not also forget the fact that this guy did get hurt in a preseason game a couple of years ago and cost himself the entire season with the torn ACL. So there was no reason, from my perspective, for Julian Edelman to be out there on the field tonight. Okay, so yeah, he has a nice catch, but then you get a little bit of a scare. You're like, seriously, is this going to happen to Julian Edelman in preseason again? Now, luckily, they dodge a bullet, nothing serious, but you know, he's coming back from that thumb injury, of course. But really what stuck out to me was Josh Gordon and mainly Demaryius Thomas. Because if you look at Demaryius Thomas tonight, 7 catches, 87 yards, including 2 touchdowns. And a couple of beautiful passes, by the way, from Jarrett Stidham. One kind of a back shoulder play. His other touchdown pass was one where Jarrett Stidham scrambled around, bought a little bit of time, and found Demaryius Thomas in the back of the end zone. But the thing that stuck out to me, and I would ask you, did this guy really tear his Achilles? Did Demaryius Thomas actually tear his Achilles? Seriously, how is he back on the field already and performing at this high of a level? Demaryius Thomas looked different tonight than most other people on the field. And I get it, he's playing against a lot of scrubs. But did it look like he had any trouble with his footing? Did it look like he was cautious at all with that Achilles injury? Not whatsoever. So the biggest thing that stuck out to me with Demaryius Thomas was he looked fluid. And that's the thing that shocked me. I thought Demaryius Thomas was going to go out there and he was going to be a little bit rusty, not look as explosive as he has in previous seasons. But Demaryius Thomas looked fine. Demaryius Thomas looked healthy. And I was starting to think to myself, oh, this is with Jarrett Stidham. And no disrespect to Jarrett Stidham, because it looks like he has a career in front of him. But when Tom Brady gets this guy, when Tom Brady has the luxury to throw the football to this guy on the outside, we're looking at a whole different situation when it comes to Demaryius Thomas. Now, when Demaryius Thomas was in Denver, I was never the biggest fan of him because it felt like at certain times he was afraid to go over the middle. At certain times, he didn't like the contact, but Demaryius Thomas in an offense where he's one of the three main weapons, if you will, in terms of the receiving core, when you have Edelman, when you have Josh Gordon, when you have Thomas as well, I'll take that any day of the week. So with Demaryius Thomas, we found out that this guy's actually going to be legitimately healthy for the season. I didn't believe the Patriots when we were hearing all this stuff about Demaryius Thomas. Quite frankly, I didn't, because it just seems like not realistic that you can have a player come back from a torn Achilles this quickly. And I thought it was funny last game, when the Patriots were playing the Titans in preseason action, and Tom Brady was kind of joking around with Demaryius Thomas. They were having fun, hanging out on the sidelines after Tom Brady played his whatever it was, 3 series or whatever the case may be. Those two kind of chatting back and forth, and I'm thinking to myself, hold on. Does he actually think Demaryius Thomas is going to play a major role on this team? And then about a week later, the news comes out. Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal is the first I saw this earlier in the week. Demaryius Thomas has been working out at the TB12 Center. So Demaryius Thomas has been doing some of his rehab and all that different type of stuff at the TB12 Center. So now when I look at it, Tom Brady has an incentive for this guy to work out, right? Also, there's another guy that has an incentive for this guy to perform at a high level. That would be Josh McDaniels. Because remember, Josh McDaniels, that was his first ever draft pick as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. So obviously, Josh McDaniels, part of the reason that the Patriots take a flyer on a guy like Demaryius Thomas is because Josh McDaniels has faith in this guy. Remember a couple of years ago what they did with Brandon Lloyd? They brought Brandon Lloyd over because Josh McDaniels had previously worked with him. Same situation here with Demaryius Thomas. And Tom Brady has to imagine, he's looking at a guy like Demaryius Thomas and thinking to himself, okay, so in terms of my long-term stability with the organization, I'm essentially in a walk year, a one-year contract. I want to make sure that I put up the best possible numbers this season. So when I go into that walk year, I can go into the negotiating room with Bill Belichick and say, hey, listen, look at my numbers this year. They exceeded what I did a season ago. And part of the reason is because he's playing with guys that he can legitimately trust. So if Demaryius Thomas, and like I said, it's one game, it's a preseason game, but the biggest thing I took away from this is the explosion was there with Demaryius Thomas. He was able to run at a high level. It didn't look like he was favoring the Achilles whatsoever. And he's 6'3", 225 pounds. We saw the same thing from Josh Gordon tonight. Not the numbers, but he had 2 catches for 30 yards. You also look at the fact that early in the first quarter, Josh Gordon drew a 35-yard penalty from the opposing defense for pass interference. And I get it, he's playing against scrubs. But all I needed to see was from Josh Gordon was him actually being out there on the football field and being mobile, being able to run. And it looked like Josh Gordon passed all the tests from that perspective. So now you start to think about what this offense could legitimately look like. It's looking a whole lot different than what we thought a couple of weeks ago. Because remember, that was when Jakobi Meyers was the flavor of the month. And N'Keal Harry's like the forgotten man right now. N'Keal Harry has not been able to get onto the football field over the past couple of weeks because he's been dealing with injuries. And now you look at it from N'Keal Harry's perspective, you got Josh Gordon, and now you got Demaryius Thomas out there as well. Where does N'Keal Harry fit into this offense with the fact that you got Edelman in the slot? So this thing is going to look a whole lot different than we originally thought heading into the season. Or maybe you were on the other page than me. Maybe you thought that Demaryius Thomas was actually going to be somebody that came in from day one and actually contributed at a very high level, because quite frankly, I didn't believe that. I didn't see that happening because I thought to myself, we've seen this type of player before. We've seen guys that have come over to the Patriots later on in their careers, the Joey Galloways of the world, the Reggie Waynes of the world, who Reggie Wayne didn't even make it through training camp, right? Chad Ochocinco, who just quite frankly could never pick up the offense. And those guys have failed with Tom Brady. Guys that try to catch on at the end of their career and maybe get a Super Bowl ring, in the case of Reggie Wayne, an additional Super Bowl ring. Those guys, just seems like it never really works when it comes to the Patriots. But maybe this is different. And the reason that this one may be different is because you have two of the biggest parties involved in this organization that are invested in the player, in Demaryius Thomas. You have both Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels have reasons for this guy to succeed. And if you look at it from Brady's perspective, if Demaryius Thomas has a good season, if Demaryius Thomas is a major part and is a major contributor to this team in the 2019 season, think about how good this looks for the Tom Brady brand, who just opened up a store in Boston, right? And they had all the announcement on Twitter and whatever the case may be, all over social media today. But if this works out for Tom Brady, think about how good this looks for the TB12 brand. This is like the biggest advertisement that Tom Brady could have for the brand that he's trying to build. And clearly we've seen how passionate that Tom Brady is about the TB12 brand. So Demaryius Thomas would be like living proof that the TB12 brand works, that the TB12 plan is something that you can use to better your life, to better yourself as an athlete, because Demaryius Thomas is 31 years old. He's coming off a torn Achilles that he suffered in December. And if he bounces back after last season, where it's kind of an up and down season for Demaryius Thomas, if he bounces back, you know how good this looks for Tom Brady. Obviously, it looks great for Demaryius Thomas as well. He wants to get his career back on track, but this looks really, really good for Tom Brady. Not to mention, it looks really, really good for Josh McDaniels. And you know who else it looks good for? It looks really, really good for Bill Belichick. Because think about this. There was no other teams. Demaryius Thomas confirmed this a couple of weeks ago. There were no other teams that were calling Demaryius Thomas after he tore his Achilles. The Patriots were the only team. You know how much money they gave him? Barely over $2 million, $2.6 million for that guy, who has been a proven entity in this league. But nobody wanted to take a shot on Demaryius Thomas because he was coming off that type of injury. So now you look at it, Demaryius Thomas throughout his career, it's almost like he's been a little bit underrated, because if you look at his seasons, so the last time he played with a legitimate quarterback was 2014 with Peyton Manning, because I don't count the 2015 season, because in 2015, Peyton Manning was basically done. Remember, he lost his job at one point. I get they won the Super Bowl, but at one point he lost his job to Brock Osweiler that season. So in 2014, he plays with Peyton. He averages 101 receiving yards per game. In 2015, combo of horrible, crappy Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler, 81 yards per game. 2016, Trevor Siemian, he averaged 67 yards per game. 2017, with a combination of Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler, 59 yards per game. And then last year, he split time between Case Keenum, and Trevor Siemian. I mean, that was ugly last year as it pertains to the quarterback situation that Demaryius Thomas has been dealing with over the past couple of years. I also think that if you look at it from Tom Brady's angle, another reason he probably trusts a guy like Demaryius Thomas is he played with Peyton Manning, and we all know that Peyton Manning, some of the concepts that he wants to put into his offense are complicated, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things you got to do in terms of the audibles with Peyton Manning. Tom Brady's probably looking at it like, okay, this guy can pick up the offense. And so I'll be the first one to admit, I really doubted the receiving core for the Patriots. I've been all over them for this receiving core. Adam Humphries, they missed on, right? And you look at some of the other guys, Cole Beasley they went after. They missed on these guys that they went after. I mean, this isn't made up stuff. They legitimately went after these guys and they missed on them. But man, they may have gotten really, really lucky, and they may really have stumbled onto something with Demaryius Thomas. Because think about it, just a couple of months ago, the way we're looking at this receiving core, you don't know what's going to happen with Josh Gordon. Nobody knew for sure that Josh Gordon was going to be reinstated to this Patriots team. Nobody knew that Demaryius Thomas was going to show up for the fourth preseason game and actually be like a legitimate entity for this team going forward. And like I said, I don't want to completely overreact, but man, he looks good. He looks legitimate right now. Like, I'm not making this up. If you watch the first half tonight, you're like, oh, this looks a lot different. And this Patriots offense, that was one of the questions. What the hell is Brady going to do in terms of the receiving game? We all know that Rob Gronkowski retired. He had the whole thing earlier this week. How are you going to do anything at the tight end position? Maybe that's not going to be a concern for this Patriots team. Not to mention the fact that if you look at the way this team is built, you know what you have at the running back position in Sony Michel. You know that James White is there to catch balls out of the backfield. And you also know this. You have another factor in all this, that you drafted a kid in Damian Harris in the third round this year. So from a running game perspective, you feel good. Now, the one thing that does concern you heading into the season is the situation with David Andrews, because obviously there is some familiarity there with Brady and David Andrews in terms of he can call out all the signals and all that different type of stuff. But now I really feel like in a week, I went from feeling absolutely horrible about this receiving core to actually feeling pretty good. I actually feel pretty good about this receiving core. And that's even with, I'm not even factoring in N'Keal Harry. I don't know what that guy's going to bring to this team in the 2019 season. I have no expectations for him because I can't see him play. I saw him play for like 2 minutes. He had a nice catch against Detroit. He went down with an injury. Like, I don't know what to expect from that guy. But at this particular point in time, I'm looking at him as like a cherry on top of the sundae because of what you're getting out of these veteran guys. So think about it with Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas. Compare it to what you had going into last year. Last year, you were looking at, okay, Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan as like your number one and number two wide receivers entering the 2019 season, because we can all acknowledge Julian Edelman was dealing with that suspension, that four-game suspension. So you're dealing with Chris Hogan, who, let's be real, that guy sucked. He is not good, okay? Not good. He was targeted 6 times in the Super Bowl, didn't catch one ball. I get it's not all his fault, but he was horrible. That guy's not good. And Philip Dorsett wasn't ready yet, okay? He didn't have the Tom Brady offense and the Patriots offense in general. He didn't have an understanding on that whatsoever. We can clearly acknowledge that. So let's look at it this year. Tom Brady goes out of his way last week to praise Philip Dorsett. So that's another additional thing that I'm not even factoring in, because Philip Dorsett didn't even dress tonight because he had already proven that he was going to make this football team. And remember, that was no guarantee. He was on a 1-year contract with the Patriots. That was no guarantee that he was going to be on the team as we entered preseason. And Philip Dorsett, Tom Brady goes out of his way to praise him the other night because Brady says, I want him on the team because I'm familiar with this guy. And Brady targeted him 4 times in that game last week, and he caught all 4 of them for 39 yards. So Philip Dorsett's another pass-catching entity, if you will, on this team, more in the Julian Edelman mold. I get they're different type of players, but a smaller receiver. And what Brady likes about Dorsett, who is a burner, we know that he's one of the fastest guys on the team, and going back to his days at the U, I mean, he was one of the better athletes coming out of the collegiate level that year in terms of pure speed, right? So he's a little different from Edelman in that perspective. But the thing that Brady pointed out about him is he's versatile. He can play all 3 wide receiver positions or receiver positions in general. So you have Dorsett, you have Edelman, you know you can count on, and now you have these 2 huge guys on the outside. So Brady has never really had, if you look at it, 2 big-time wide receivers like this in terms of what they can do on the outside, right? I mean, you go back, I'm not comparing the players, but you go back to 07, you had Moss, you had Stallworth, but I'm talking about a combination of 2 guys on the outside. You've never really had this. And the thing you like about Gordon is Gordon can line up in the slot. Gordon can line up everywhere because he's so comfortable with this offense. So you went from Gordon last year where you had to, I don't want to sound too X's and O's-y, but he had a limited route tree, okay? Do I sound too like football guy-ish when I say that? But he had like a very limited route tree, right? They're like, Josh, you run these 2 routes and that'll be it. Now he's more familiar with the offense. And remember, when Gordon had to leave the team last year because, of course, he announced that he was leaving, then we knew that he was going to be suspended. But when he left last year, he was the leading receiver on this Patriots team. And now if you look at it, he can take a step forward going into the 2019 season, because if you look at Josh Gordon, he's somebody that now has more familiarity with Josh McDaniel's system, because think about it. He came over during the season last year. It's very tough to pick up this offense. We've seen it. We look at Philip Dorsett, and it seems like now he finally has it, but it took Philip Dorsett like 2 years in the system, and Josh Gordon was a pivotal player on this team last year because he was just such a freaky athlete that you had to throw him the football. Now he actually has some sense of comfort in the offense. And now you look at Demaryius Thomas and you see the way that Jarrett Stidham's throwing him the football. It's like, man, can this be, really be a thing? And I heard Mark James talking about this earlier. And for the most part, I'm with him. Like, preseason sucks. It's not entertaining. But the one thing about the Patriots, in 2019, their preseason has been pretty darn entertaining because you had the whole situation with Jarrett Stidham. Could he play? Is he actually going to be the backup quarterback? And now tonight, like, in a fourth preseason game, I'm usually like, okay, whatever. Like, I really don't care. Like, I have no incentive usually to watch a fourth preseason game because I'm not one of these guys that has a roster. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be guy number 52, 53 on the roster. Or who's going to be, like, the fifth linebacker? Who's going to be the sixth linebacker? Like, I don't factor that stuff in, right? I wait till the roster comes out, and then you make your judgments, right? But with this game in particular, I'm like, hold on. Demaryius Thomas is going to play? Josh Gordon is going to play? I'm in. So normally I don't think like the fourth preseason game is an entertaining brand of football, but tonight, I mean, that was damn entertaining. All right, if you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. What were your observations from the preseason game tonight? If you want to weigh in, Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. Let's get to Jason in Worcester to kick things off. What's up, Jason?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just have two quick points about Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
The first one, Josh Gordon hasn't been available all season long forever now, so we can't really count on him staying on the field the whole season.
Very fair point, Jason. Very fair point. The one thing I will say is this, as you make that point, the one thing I'll say is I believe the NFL wants him to play this year. And I understand what you're saying, like he has issues off the field and whatnot, but I believe the NFL is behind Josh Gordon because Roger Goodell has now given him like a sixth chance in this league. So I think Roger Goodell and company want it to work out for Josh Gordon. But your point is well taken. We can't count on Josh Gordon. We thought we could last year. And of course, he had to leave the team and face the suspension. So I understand where you're coming from with Josh Gordon.
And then the second point, you guys are forgetting that Demaryius Thomas does not show up on big games. Like against Patriots 2013, he got shut down by, was it Logan Ryan, I think?
Yeah, no, I'll
remember. But
look, Jason, I'm not saying that Demaryius Thomas is the greatest wide receiver in the world, but I am saying this when it comes to Demaryius Thomas. I didn't expect him to be a factor on this team whatsoever. Like, was anybody out there banking on Demaryius Thomas being a big-time contributor to the team in 2019? Because I certainly wasn't. I said on this program multiple times, across the WEI network, I've said multiple times, it would be gravy if Demaryius Thomas could actually contribute to this team. And now I'm thinking about it totally differently. Now I'm thinking that, okay, maybe you may have something with Demaryius Thomas because what we saw tonight is this guy still has some explosion. And all those things are fair. I said at the top, I never liked Demaryius Thomas the player before this year or before really he came over to the Patriots. I'm like, hey, I'm not the biggest fan of this guy. But if he's going to be somebody that is like, what, your third weapon? Because you're looking at Edelman as the main guy in the slot, and you're looking at somebody like Josh Gordon on the outside. If Demaryius Thomas is your third weapon, heck, he may not even be that because you have James White out of the backfield. Philip Dorsett, Tom Brady really likes him. I mean, he basically stuck his neck out there last week. Basically, I thought it was a power move by Brady. Brady comes out to the press conference. He talks about how versatile Philip Dorsett was. I thought that was a power move by Brady to say, hey, Bill, this dude's on the damn team. I don't care about your undrafted guy out of NC State and Jacoby Myers, but this guy's going to be on the damn team. I'm telling you, I just made it abundantly clear. I want him on the team. He's going to be on the team. And he didn't play tonight, so you know that Philip Dorsett, and no surprise, I mean, he was going to be on the team. But Philip Dorsett may be the number three receiver. I'm just saying the fact that you're getting something out of Demaryius Thomas at all, and the fact that Demaryius Thomas is a freak show of an athlete, 6'3", ran what, like a 3.28 or whatever it was at the combine years ago. I get he's not the same athlete he once was, but the fact you're getting anything out of Demaryius Thomas is a complete shocker to me. I did not factor this guy in, especially for the beginning of the season, and coming off a torn Achilles on the other side of 30, I did not see this coming whatsoever. So I'm just saying from that aspect of, okay, I expected nothing from the guy, and tonight he looks like he's completely recovered from a torn Achilles. Like, that's the shocking thing to me. All right, if you want to hop on board, you can weigh in on what you saw in the preseason game tonight. The number 617-779-7937. Also this, with the performance that Jarrett Stidham has had this preseason, is there any reason to keep Brian Hoyer on this roster? We'll get into that. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI. 93.7 FM.
Ooh. We have chosen Jarrett Stidham as this week's Needham Bank Player of the Game. What did you think of his performance on Thursday night?
Yeah, you know, as a young player, he's getting a lot of opportunity and a lot of reps in the practice field as well as the game field. And he's, you know, he's doing a great job, and he's going to keep working at it just like everyone else. So we have a very healthy, competitive quarterback group. Brian has done, you know, has had really a great offseason, a great camp. He's a really, you know, a real professional in every way. And, you know, I love being in the room with Brian and what he adds to the group. And then when you add a young player like Jarrett, you know, it's good to have, you know, the youth too and a lot of the excitement and someone to carry our pads and give haircuts to. So I think the haircut last week was one of the best things of last week, which I really enjoyed doing.
Okay, that's interesting. So that was Tom Brady earlier in the week on the Greg Hill Show. Tom Brady, of course, throughout the season, will be on with Greg Hill every Monday morning and the crew there, of course. So Tom Brady was asked a question, what he thought about Jarrett Stidham. And he brought up Brian Hoyer in that conversation, talking about what a great quarterback room the team has when Brian Hoyer's around. So he wasn't asked about Brian Hoyer. He just brought up Brian Hoyer. So that, to me, was Tom Brady going out of his way to trying to get Brian Hoyer to remain on the roster. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. Is it worth keeping Brian Hoyer on the roster? Clearly, Tom Brady wants him on the team. Now, earlier in the week, Josh McDaniels also weighed in on Brian Hoyer.
How important is Brian Hoyer in your quarterback room? Mm-hmm. And will you guys keep three quarterbacks?
I don't, again, I won't make any of those decisions, but I love Brian Hoyer. And Brian's been great for us. He's great for Tom. He's done a nice job in the preseason, obviously. You know, Brian knows our system, knows how to operate and function within the things we do, throws the ball well, and is an extremely hard worker, really smart, great teammate. Mm-hmm. And as good a leader as I've seen as a backup quarterback, you know, that I've been around. Because that's a difficult position to be in sometimes, you know. But Brian understands who he is and what his role is and does a tremendous job of pushing his teammates. And he goes in there and takes his job very seriously. Every rep he's in there, whether it be a practice or a game, scout team, our offense, you know, whatever it might be, he takes it very seriously. And that's the way you would want him to do that. And he makes the guys around him better.
All right, so that's Josh McDaniels earlier in the week on Brian Hoyer, basically praising Brian Hoyer for being a great teammate and all that different type of stuff. And the other thing I'd point out is Josh McDaniels saying it's very tough sometimes to be a backup quarterback. Well, I don't see it as a difficult job for Brian Hoyer. I see it as a difficult job in this league when you're like Aaron Rodgers backing up Brett Favre and you're waiting for that opportunity to get the chance to start in the NFL. It was difficult for Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a high draft pick of the Patriots, and he was waiting to get his chance to be a starting quarterback long term for this organization or any other organization. That's where it's tough, when you think that you actually have the opportunity to be the starting quarterback. But I don't understand how it's difficult for Brian Hoyer. He came back here and he knew what his job was. He was backing up Tom Brady. He had his opportunities to start and it didn't go well. I mean, people point out the fact that, oh yeah, he had a winning record in Cleveland. Yeah, he also completed 55% of his passes. So take that what you will. Take with that what you will. I mean, was he really that great in Cleveland? You look at his run in San Francisco, he had the opportunity to start there. It did not go well for him, right? In San Francisco, he completed 58% of his passes, and he threw for 207 yards per game, and he was 0-6. Okay, and that's with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is widely regarded as one of the great offensive minds in the NFL, right? You go back to 2012 with RG3, he wins Rookie of the Year because Kyle Shanahan takes some of the principles, some of the stuff that he was using at Baylor, and he basically puts that into his own offense. And he makes RG3 the Rookie of the Year. You think about it with Matt Ryan. He goes to Atlanta in the first year, a little rough with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan didn't really take to his system the first year. Remember that whole thing about Matt Ryan? He didn't like the fact that he had to turn his back to the defense. But then Matt Ryan's like, oh, yeah, this offense is actually pretty good. So Matt Ryan's like, all right, I'll accept the offense that we're using here. And Matt Ryan goes on and he wins the MVP. Now, you can say, well, Kyle Shanahan wasn't great in the Super Bowl. Yeah, no kidding. But the point is, they did have a 28-3 lead, and Matt Ryan was the MVP of the NFL, and Matt Ryan had his best season as a professional quarterback. There's no disputing that whatsoever. Ryan was great that particular season. And Brian Hoyer wasn't successful at all with Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator in San Francisco. Oh, he didn't have any weapons. Well, this Mullins dude last year, who the hell was that Mullins guy? Nick Mullins? He came out of nowhere. He actually played at a pretty high level, okay? So my point is this with Brian Hoyer. I don't understand what the purpose would be of keeping this guy around because he's friends with Tom Brady, because he can help in the film room. That makes no sense to me whatsoever, and especially considering the fact that I look at what Jared Stidham did tonight, and he's performing at a really high level right now. And I heard Christian Fourier point this out earlier today, and it makes a lot of sense. One of the things that the Patriots in particular have pointed out with Brian Hoyer, some of the defensive guys have given him a lot of credit for what he did on the scout team last year. They give him credit for how he impersonated Jared Goff, remember, in the Super Bowl. And they said before that, Brian Hoyer was great in practice and all that different type of stuff. And Christian Fourier pointed out, well, the same thing happened with Damon Heward. Remember when Heward was here in 03, he was the guy that was given all the credit for impersonating Peyton Manning. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he got a game ball after they beat Peyton Manning in 03, and Peyton Manning actually threw four interceptions. Okay, so my point is, he was great at impersonating Peyton Manning. What happened the following season? See ya. He was cut. He was no longer a member of the Patriots organization. So Brian Hoyer, I'm not taking anything away from what he did with the scout team last year. I'm sure he was great impersonating Jared Goff. But why can't Jared Stidham do it? Why can't Jared Stidham do that this year when he's running the scout team? Why can't we expect Jared Stidham to do it? Because quite frankly, couldn't he be better at it? It's not that difficult. They tell you what the play is. You go out there, you execute the play. Jared Stidham has more talent than Brian Hoyer has ever had in his life. So why can't Jared Stidham go out there and be this great scout team quarterback? Brady McDaniels just want him around because he's another vet, okay? He's another vet to have around. And quite frankly, for Brady, it may be just a lifestyle thing too, right? And Brady's also friends with the guy, so he's going to stick up for his friend. But unprompted on the Greg Hill Show earlier in this week, Brady brings up Brian Hoyer, when he's asked a question about Jared Stidham, I mean, that's just telling you right then and there, Brady just wants him on the team. But he's not going to keep him on the team just because Brady's friends with Brian Hoyer and likes having him in the room, and Josh McDaniels likes having him in the room. Bill Belichick has sent guys away from Brady that actually helped Brady on the football field, right? Think about it. Danny Amendola helped Brady on the field. And Belichick said, ah, yeah, I'm not going to pay him. You can go ahead to Miami. Wes Welker years ago, remember that guy? Yeah, okay, you can go ahead and go wherever you want to go, to Denver. And Deion Branch coming off a Super Bowl MVP, remember a couple of years later, Belichick's like, yeah, you can go somewhere else, get paid by Seattle. Now, ultimately, he came back to the organization. But the point being, Brady had relationships with some of these guys on the football field. Like, they were contributors to the team on the field. The Amendolas of the world, the Deion Branches of the world, the Wes Welkers of the world. And Belichick got rid of those guys. And they played a vital role, a pivotal role, I should say, on the actual field. Brian Hoyer is somebody that doesn't play a role on the field whatsoever. Doesn't play a role on the field whatsoever. Has no contribution on Sunday, okay? On the actual field. You can tell, oh, yeah, getting ready for the week. He talks to Tom on the sideline. Okay, great. Tom can figure that out with somebody else. I just don't see the incentive for keeping Brian Hoyer on the team. When we've talked about it over the past couple of weeks, and really going back to draft season, etc., that this is one of the most talented Patriots teams we've seen in a long time. Probably more talented than 2014, quite frankly. And I expect this team to be better to begin the season than the 2014 team was. Because remember, that whole thing with Revis when he came over, at the beginning it was kind of, everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? Revis is in a zone coverage. He doesn't really look like Darrell Revis that we've seen over previous seasons. I expect this team to start much faster because most of the main guys, in terms of the defense, they've already been in the system, like with the exception of Michael Bennett, when he played last week, he looked good. I mean, Michael Bennett, it's not too complicated for him. Rush the passer, right? Get after the quarterback. It doesn't look like it's going to be too complicated for him to start the season. He's like the perfect Belichick guy. We can move him around in the defensive line. He fits perfectly in this system. So when I look at it from that perspective, we're talking about how loaded this team is, and it's going to be tough to get this roster down to 53. Well, then why would you keep three quarterbacks? Just because this guy can help on the scout team, just because this guy can help Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels in the quarterback room, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And Bill Belichick said last week, we've seen a lot of football from Brian. And here's the other thing. Like, this idea that if Tom Brady hypothetically was going to go down, would you want it to be Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham? Why would anybody want it to be Brian Hoyer? The guy sucks. He's not good. I don't understand the logic behind, yeah, well, what if Tom goes down for a game or two? Yeah, Brian Hoyer knows the system more. That's the argument that I've been hearing. Okay, great. He knows the system more. Jarrett Stidham's better. Jarrett Stidham's a better player. Can anybody actually legitimately argue with me that Brian Hoyer's a better player than Jarrett Stidham? Jarrett Stidham has more talent. Jarrett Stidham's actually mobile. He can get outside the pocket. We saw it a couple of times tonight where he got outside the pocket. He picked up a 19-yard gain on a run as well. Jarrett Stidham has more talent than Brian Hoyer can ever dream of having. So if Brady was hypothetically to go out, knock on wood, that never happens, for an extended period of time, say it's four games, five games, whatever the case may be, I much rather have Jarrett Stidham out there. He's got a bunch of big wide receivers now and Gordon and Thomas to throw the football to. You know what he has with Edelman, who gets open very, very quickly. James White at the backfield, etc. I don't have to go through the laundry list of weapons or go through the weapons, if you will, that he has at his disposal. I much rather have a more talented player out there on the football field than a journeyman quarterback in Brian Hoyer. What's the upside with Brian Hoyer? Hoyer sucks. He's not good. So I much rather it be Jarrett Stidham. I've just never understood that logic. Well, he understands the offense more. I don't know. Does it look like Jarrett Stidham's having issues with the offense during the preseason? I get he's not playing against the best competition in the world, but does it look like he is having any issues picking up the offense? Now, like, you look at his interception tonight, for example. All right, he didn't feel the pressure. Actually, I should say, he felt the pressure, went to his right side, and held on to the ball too long. Okay, that's something that you fix in the film room. You go into the film room and you say, okay, Jarrett, you can't hold on to the ball that long. You got to take off. You got to throw the football. It's not something with not knowing the system. It doesn't look like the system is too complicated for Jarrett Stidham. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of things that Jarrett Stidham can't do that Tom Brady can do when he's on the football field. But the reality is this. Brian Hoyer may have a better grasp of the offense, and quite frankly, I would hope he has. I mean, he's been around the NFL for a long time, and he's played in the Josh McDaniels system before. So I would hope he has a better grasp of what's going on from an offensive perspective than a rookie. But the rookie has more talent, and the team is talented enough that if Brady goes down for a couple of games, I'd much rather have this kid on the field because at least he can make all the throws. With Brian Hoyer, he can't do that. So I just don't get the incentive for keeping Brian Hoyer on this roster. It makes no sense to me whatsoever, especially considering the roster is that damn good. All right, if you want to hop on board, what are your observations so far through the preseason? Do you want them to keep Brian Hoyer on the roster? Is there any need for Brian Hoyer on the roster? And what have you made of Jarrett Stidham this preseason? The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so right here on WEEI.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Now Stidham going back down the right sideline. This time for Thomas. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's what he does. What were we just talking about? His ability to use his body downfield.
Stidham. Late. Give it. There it is. Throws it.
There you go.
For Thomas. Touchdown, Patriots.
All right. Take number 88. Put him on the bench.
Yep, he's good.
All right, Jarrett Stidham looked pretty comfortable tonight, especially throwing to that guy, Demaryius Thomas. Jarrett Stidham on the night, a couple of nice scrambles. Also, you look at the back shoulder throws. That's just something we see from NFL veterans, like the throws he had to Demaryius Thomas, two back shoulder throws to him. Had a nice slant that he threw to Josh Gordon that he absolutely laser beamed that thing in there. Nice throw to Julian Edelman down the field as well. Jarrett Stidham looks the part. I'm telling you, this dude looks the part. Coming out of high school, this is a four-star kid, went to Baylor, had success there, and then, of course, they had the whole scandal at Baylor. He goes to Auburn, learns a completely different system from what he was running at Baylor, which was an air raid system. He goes to Auburn, and he starts running more of a dual threat-like quarterback system, like Gus Malzahn has a lot of read pass option stuff in there. So he goes back to his dual threat days at the high school level, and he's actually playing at a high level at Auburn to the point where his first year as a starter at Auburn, he beat Georgia and he beat Alabama. Okay, he beat Georgia and he beat Alabama. Two teams that made it to the college football playoff. That's how good Jarrett Stidham was in his first year as a starting quarterback at Auburn. And then last season, the numbers don't look as great because the offensive line was atrocious. I mean, he just got beat up because he's playing the LSUs and the Alabamas of the world. And all those Auburn offensive linemen from the previous season went to the NFL. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Jason. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, man? I mean, I think you're getting a little carried away with Knock and Hoyer. Don't get me wrong, Stidham has looked good, like for a for a rook coming in, like he's looked poised, mind you, stuff like that. But to say that Hoyer's awful, like he's not a starter. He's a backup. But like, say something were to happen this season, and Brady gets hurt, like at this point, I'd probably rather have Hoyer.
Why would you rather have Hoyer though?
What is he's a veteran.
What? What has he ever done though? Who has a better arm? Who is more mobile? Like, what does he do that's better than Stidham?
Who can run an NFL offense? Like, Stidham's only been in the playbook for like a couple months. Don't get me wrong. Down the road,
Jason, you know how many rookie quarterbacks? You know how many rookie quarterbacks start in the NFL? Sam Darnold started all of last year. Okay. Kyler Murray's going to start all this year. Why can't Jared Stidham start a game if Brady goes down? I don't understand that. Why can't he start?
Well, I'm saying he can, but I'm saying who do you think gives you a better chance to win this year? This
Stidham.
Season. I'm not talking next season.
I think Stidham
you
does.
Think so? You think right out the blocks, just like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Why does Hoyer give you a better chance to win? Because he's been in the NFL more? I mean, I don't get that.
Absolutely. To run an NFL playbook?
Okay, you know, so, Jason, let me ask you this. Jason, hold on. Let me ask you this. Who do you think gave the Jets a better chance to win a game last year? Sam Darnold or McCown?
Probably Sam Darnold. I mean, Sam Darnold was what, the number one pick? What was your top three or four pick?
Right, but the point is, that's a rookie over a veteran. Jared Stidham's a rookie.
Yeah,
why can't he win a game rather than Brian Hoyer? I don't get it. He's a better player.
Well, no, but the Jets, too, are talking about winning games. You get 6-7. The Pats are going to be talking about winning games, potentially win a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, so I would want to...
I think the Pats are probably going to cut him. I think, you know, Stidham looks great. And I think, like, Belichick, I mean, with that, what round do they get him in?
Fourth?
I mean, it looks like a good pick. I just think, you know, they're probably going to cut him. It frees up a little money. It frees up a roster spot. But it's just, I don't know. I think immediately, right out the gate, I don't know.
But Jason, what makes you feel good? What makes you feel good about Hoyer starting a game? What is it that Hoyer does where you're saying, yeah, we need that? That guy can win us a couple games. What does he do?
All you're going by is what you've seen Stidham do for preseason this year.
Well,
right?
And I'm also going on the whole career I've seen of Hoyer. He's bad.
Well, I mean, how did Hoyer look this preseason?
He's barely played.
Right?
He's barely played.
Yeah, and when he played, how did
he
look?
Right, right. Jason, I have a whole career of Brian Hoyer that says he sucks.
I don't think Hoyer's some giant killer, but I think he's better than you made him out to be. You know, I think he's an above average backup quarterback.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the call, Jason. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. So Hoyer's an above average backup quarterback. I don't even know what the hell that means. Okay, well, I look at Stidham as somebody that could potentially be an NFL starting quarterback in the future. That's why Bill Belichick drafted him in the fourth round, because he thinks there's a chance that he could be somebody that starts and maybe is the heir apparent to Tom Brady after Tom Brady's done playing. Maybe that's what Bill Belichick saw in Jarrett Stidham, because I don't see the difference between Jarrett Stidham and Daniel Jones, a guy that went 6th overall. Stidham's got a bigger arm. Stidham is more mobile. Stidham is more accurate. Like, Daniel Jones, I don't understand what that guy did at the collegiate level that would force anybody to take that guy 6th overall. And the point about Darnold and McCown is this. Who cares if the guy's a rookie or a veteran? Okay, it doesn't matter to me. If the rookie is a better player, he gives you a better chance to win. That's the point I was making about Darnold and McCown. McCown has been in the league forever, but Darnold last year gave you a better chance to win. I don't care when he was drafted. You go back to years ago, okay? In 2012, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Okay, the Seattle Seahawks at that particular point in time gave Matt Flynn like a bundle of money. Remember, Matt Flynn had like two good games as a backup quarterback in Green Bay, playing a couple of games for Aaron Rodgers, and Seattle paid him big-time money. But they went to training camp, and they realized, oh, hold on a second, Russell Wilson's way better than that guy. And Pete Carroll's like, he's going to be our starter going into the season. That's a third-round guy in Russell Wilson. Jarrett Stidham, we're talking about him winning the backup quarterback job. Jarrett Stidham has more talent than Brian Hoyer can ever dream of having. I don't understand why anybody would say, oh yeah, Brian Hoyer gives you a better chance to win. I just don't get the proof of that because he's more familiar with the system. Okay, well then here's the thing. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of the sport, right? Okay. Josh McDaniels, we widely consider to be one of the best play callers in the NFL, right? So you have one of the best play callers in the NFL, and you have the best coach in the history of the sport. Okay, so if they have a more talented guy in Jarrett Stidham than Brian Hoyer, why can't those two guys, the most talent or the best coach in the history of the game and arguably the best offensive coordinator in the game, why can't those guys come up with a game plan that works for Jarrett Stidham? They won a game, okay? They won a game with Jacoby Brissett, who wasn't throwing. All he was doing is running. So I don't understand why Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels wouldn't name the more talented player the backup quarterback. They're good enough coaches to coach him up. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get the incentive to say, oh, if Brady goes down, you need Hoyer. For what? He sucks. He's not good. You look at Jarrett Stidham. This guy has legitimate talent, and I believe that McDaniels and Belichick could coach him up if they needed to give him an opportunity to play, because knock on wood, if Brady ever got hurt. I just don't understand the logic behind Hoyer. I don't know why he'd be on this roster other than he's friends with Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels loves him. I don't get it. Oh, he's so great on the scout team. I'm pretty sure that Jarrett Stidham could execute the game plan on the scout team. I don't think that it would be that difficult for Jarrett Stidham. Let's get to Andre. He's in a car. What's up, Andre?
Yeah, how you doing? This Jarrett Stidham kid is another bright, shining example of a commodity that Bill Belichick himself created out of nothing. You know, to me, he's a rich man's version of Jacoby Brissett, maybe even a Jimmy Garoppolo. Who is Jarrett Stidham before he comes to the Patriots? He's an unheralded rookie who has zero, you know, NFL value. Sorry about that. But, you know, his...
He may have NBA value. We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I apologize.
No, I'm kidding, man. Go ahead.
Again, that, you know, now you have a legitimate backup and you have another asset the Patriots can use for whatever it is that they want to do. You can get, I mean, it gives them the ability to either trade the young kid if Brady's going to play till 45 or Hoyer. You have three quarterbacks who, you know, are serviceable in the NFL. You don't need three. You only need two. So now you have, you know, one guy that, you know, is just there for whatever ends. And it all has to come back to Belichick and his ability to develop players. You know, people want to, you know, kill the Patriots for letting people go a year early. Belichick does not receive enough credit for, you know, creating talent out of absolute thin air. People
Andre, hold on a second. Who gives the Patriots crap for letting guys leave a year too early? Who gets? I don't get that. That's like a positive thing about the Patriots.
It's a positive thing in one respect, but with this NFL that we're in, with players saying, I want my money. You know, you look at Ezekiel Elliott's holdout, obviously more running backs than any other position. But the Patriots, you know, beyond their success, people always look at the fact that they never pay guys. They're willing to let guys go a year early rather than paying them the market value based on their overall. I mean, it works. They won six Super Bowls, but it's one of the knocks that you will hear, you know, when people, you know, beyond, you know, when people rain on the Patriots. Oh, well, you know. They cut, Ricky.
Yeah, look, Andre, I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937 if you want to. I don't know how that's like a negative about the Patriots. People knock them for letting guys go a year too early. I've never heard that. I feel like people compliment Bill Belichick for doing that. Now, maybe at the time people were like, when Danny Amendola, they let him go, like people like, oh, just you should have kept Danny Amendola. But I don't think one of the criticisms of the Patriots organization is they let guys go too early. That's a compliment in and of itself. That's a smart thing in and of itself. Like letting guys go like Lawyer Malloy a year before he ages out, so to speak. That's a smart thing that the Patriots do. If anything, that's like a positive aspect of the Patriots organization. And it's not like it's cost them players. Look at Demaryius Thomas. The dude's 31, and he came over to play for the Patriots. We've seen multiple guys at the end of their careers try to come over to the Patriots and play. Like, I have no idea how that would be in any way perceived as a negative thing. Doing something smart from an organizational standpoint, who the hell holds that against the Patriots? I don't know what the hell that guy's talking about. It makes no sense to me. Yeah, you do something really smart, but that's one of the knocks on you? What? I don't get that. All right. If you want to weigh in on the Patriots preseason game, what you made of Jarrett Stidham, his performance, should the Patriots be keeping three quarterbacks? Are you okay with Brian Hoyer saying, see ya, go ahead, go play for somebody else? Or do you think the Patriots need to keep Brian Hoyer on the roster? Also, what'd you make of Demaryius Thomas? The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.